All right. Well, it's so good to be with you one more time. Family camp goes so fast, and it's crazy that it's already here at the end. But I am thankful very much for the time that we've been able to spend together thinking through a number of different things about how we can serve God in the world, the invisible God in our visible world, in these different places in which he puts us. Let's let the rest of the folks here get out of the room, and then we'll pray. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to come together again tonight. We pray for the children in the nursery and the nursery workers, what a blessing they are to us, the regional church here at Family Camp. We ask that you would watch over them and make that time sweet. We also thank you for our time that we get to spend together and that we've been able to spend together throughout this week. I'm not quite done yet. Talent show tonight and more things tomorrow. Lord, we're just so thankful for all of the opportunities, the conversations that we've had, the relationships that we've made, the ways that you've helped us to grow in you as we've meditated on your word and considered our place in you. Our place in your world that you have made, and the various ways in which you have called us to serve you through faith in Christ. We ask that you would bless our time together this evening. Help us to be good listeners. Help us to be good appliers, to think not just about what it is you say, but how we might put these things into action, even tonight and into the days ahead. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so in the last two evenings together, we've thought about what it means to be a member of something. Right, we've thought about what it means to be a part of something, first a church and then a family. But at first, the very first one, remember, we talked about how we serve God as a Family Camp friend. And I asked you to look around the room and just look for people that you'd maybe recognize, people that you didn't recognize. And I'd like to start by having you just look around the room again and ask yourself about how your relationships have changed in just a few days. Maybe you see someone that you learned their name for the first time. Maybe someone you got really close with. Maybe a new friend or you had a new experience with someone. An opportunity to apply some of the things that we've learned. As you look around, I hope you see the ways in which God has been working even just over these last few days. I know that I came to camp not knowing some of you, and now I know some more of you. I know some of you better. I think maybe I know myself a little bit better, and I hopefully know the Lord a lot better. But the Lord does these things in our lives bit by bit, person by person, conversation by conversation. Tonight, we're going to think about how God uses us and how we belong to him and how we serve him as a neighbor in our communities. You could also think of us as a member of our communities, just like we thought about church membership and we thought about family membership. You can talk about membership in other organizations. God places us, in addition to in our families and in our churches, he puts us other places, in your town, your neighborhood, your county, your state, your country, but also other things like a 4-H club, or maybe you belong to a chess club, or a classroom, or a karate dojo. There are other communities in which you belong, maybe lots, and some of them are formal and organized. They have rules and leaders, and you know exactly where you stand in that community, and others are more informal. Right? You might have a little community of people that meet by your apartment complex pool throughout the summer. And that's a thing. And there's a group there, and that God has you in that place. Or maybe if you have another place, maybe you go to your brother or your sister's soccer games or something like that, and you don't really watch the game, but you kind of play on the side with some other kids, and that's a little community. That's a little group that you have together. And in all of these different places, we can think about how we can serve God as a member. as a member. But tonight, I want to think about it a little bit differently than we did the last two nights. So the last two nights, we thought about how we work and serve the Lord in this visible world that he's given to us as a member. Tonight, I want you to think about how we serve God as a neighbor. How we serve God as a neighbor. What's a neighbor? Anyone want to raise your hand and tell me what you think a neighbor is? Let's try and come up with a couple definitions quickly. What's a neighbor? Yes.
Somebody who lives in your neighborhood.
Good. Yes. Somebody who lives close to you. One more time. A friend to you. Yes. And one more. Someone God has called you to love. So yeah, usually when we think about a neighbor, we're thinking about someone who's physically close to us. You know, your closest neighbors, you might call your next door neighbors, right? Because they're next door, right? The one house, one apartment over. But we can also talk about neighbors in other senses and in other ways. And usually what we mean is something like someone who is close to me in some way. Not necessarily a friend, right? You may have a bad neighbor or a neighbor you don't like, but they're still your neighbor. They're close to you in a way. The word neighbor likely comes from two words that are put together. The first word is kind of related to words like nigh or near. You kind of hear it a little bit, don't you, in the word, in that first part, nay, right? Bur probably comes from a word that has to do with dweller. So if you put these words together, you have sort of nearby dweller, right? One is somebody who lives close, somebody who's close to you in some way. So tonight, when I say neighbor, I'm thinking about people who are close to you in some way. Maybe you're not friends, maybe you are, maybe you know them, maybe you don't, but there's some sort of connection that you have. Usually because they're physically close to you, or they're in the same class, or they are in your neighborhood, as someone said. These can be teammates, all kinds of different people. And we're going to think about how we serve an invisible God in our visible world, in our neighborhoods, in all the different kinds of neighborhoods that we have, and all the different kinds of neighbors that we have. And I want to think about this idea about serving God in our world as a neighbor for a couple reasons. Now, the first reason is that sometimes we find ourselves connected and responsible to people simply because God has put us close to them, right? There's the story, of course, of the Good Samaritan, where this question comes up of who is my neighbor? And one of the things we learn is that when we see somebody in need, somebody who needs help, we ought to help them. We ought to love them as much as we can. There's something about simply coming into contact, coming close to someone, that puts a measure of responsibility and duty and a call to love. So that's one reason to think about it. A second reason is that when God puts us close to people, he gives us an opportunity to serve him as what I'm going to say right now as revealers. Right? We reveal something. In other words, God puts us close to people on purpose so that we can make the invisible God known in a visible world. And I want to think about that through three ways that the Bible describes different ways in which we become revealers. Various ways in which we are neighbors, good neighbors, hopefully, to people that are close to us. The first way we're going to consider is as an ambassador. The second one is as a light. And the third is as a smell. So those are our three. Ambassador, a light, and a smell. All right, so what's an ambassador? An ambassador is a representative. Businesses have ambassadors. Last year, Charles Martinet, the man who did the voice behind Mario and Luigi, he retired from voice acting and he became Nintendo's ambassador. And so now he gets to go all around the world, and he does performances of Mario Luigi's voice, and he signs autographs, and he talks about how great Nintendo is. He's an ambassador for Nintendo. He's a representative of Nintendo. There are people who represent their countries as ambassadors, right? They go to different countries outside of the United States, and they represent the United States in different parts of the world. And those countries also send their ambassadors to us, and they communicate messages, and they receive messages, and they do important things in the name of the United States, or Finland, or Uruguay, or wherever they are from. Well, what I want you to do now is turn to a Bible passage where Paul talks about himself as an ambassador. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. So if you go to verse 18 in that chapter, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, it's toward the end. In my Bible, I had to flip a page. Verse 18, I'm going to read from verse 18 to verse 20. Listen along with me. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So you hear what Paul says. First, he says there's this thing that has happened through Jesus. Jesus has reconciled us to himself. He has not counted the trespasses of those he died for against them. He's not counted our sins against us. And on top of that, with men like Paul and his co-workers, he's entrusted with them with this message of reconciliation. A message that he's entrusted all the church with, and as we've thought about before, we work together in this mission in all of our different parts, right? So Paul has this message, and he has this message from God. And so then he says, well, what am I? Well, he says, I am an ambassador for Christ, God making his appeal through us. So you see what I mean? Paul is thinking about himself as a representative. Why? Because God has given him a message, which is he is intended to convey. The idea of an ambassador makes a lot of sense with another line of thought that Paul has. And that's that he doesn't really belong here. Sure, he does in a way. He tells us, we know in another place, he's a Roman citizen. He travels the world. He knows the world. But he remembers something Jesus says. In John 18:36, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. Paul teaches this in Philippians 3:20 when he says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, we're encouraged to think of ourselves as strangers and exiles on the earth. So just like if you became an ambassador for the United States and went to another country and lived there, you would say, this is where I live. You would maybe even call it your home. If somebody asked you, where do you live? You'd say, please come into my house, right, in this other country. But in the back of your mind, you would know that it's really not your home. You come from a different country. And in fact, you're representing a different country. That's how Paul thinks about himself. He recognizes that his citizenship is in heaven, that he belongs to a kingdom that's not of this world, that he's here as a stranger and an exile. But that means he has a job to do. God has put him here and has made him an ambassador to bring this word of Christ to the world. So this is why Paul thinks about himself as an ambassador, and I think we should too. He's a resident of this world, but he represents the king and the message of the kingdom that's not of this world. And so he comes into this world to make that message known. And we do the same thing. You do the same thing. When somebody in your class asks you about Jesus, or you have an opportunity to talk about why you go to church, or why maybe you're not afraid about something that other people might be afraid of, or why you have hope and you're not afraid of dying, or why you can get through a difficult time in your family or in your school and the way that the Lord helps you in these things. In all of these moments, you are an ambassador. You're a representative to your neighbors. And that's really important to remember. It means that when you're talking to someone about Jesus, you're talking about your life in the kingdom of God, your membership in the family and the household of God, you're not just sharing your opinion. You're not just saying something that you once heard. You're a representative. You could even imagine in that moment yourself having a little badge, right? It says, representative, kingdom of heaven. I had a friend in college who took this so seriously that he decided to wear a hat all the time that said really big letters, I, and then a heart symbol, love, Jesus. Everywhere he went, he put this hat on his head and he wore that everywhere he went because he wanted to remind himself and he also wanted to tell others that he was here as a representative. That what he said and what he did represented the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus doesn't say we all have to wear hats that say, I love Jesus. But he does say we must represent him. And we must represent him well. That we make him known. And one way we do that is with our neighbors. It's one way we serve God in this world and with our neighbors. All right, so that's ambassador. Who remembers the second one? Bless you. Raise your hand. Oh, I heard. Yes, light. Right. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5 for our number 2. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. I did an internship once with Dan Clifford and Chan Van Dixhorn in Vienna. And Dan Clifford, a pastor in the OPC, a very good pastor, he told me, wait until you don't hear rustling pages anymore before you start again. Sometimes I find that hard because I want to rush. But I know for those that are looking and are trying really hard to find those pages, it's so encouraging to them to have the time that they need to do that. Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let's read it one more time. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When Jesus came into the world, he, John tells us, was like a light shining in the darkness. Or what Paul calls in Colossians, the dominion of darkness. Like a kingdom of darkness, this place, this realm, this dominion of darkness. And when Jesus comes into the world like that light and he shines, the Bible tells us that the darkness doesn't overcome it, can't overcome it. Have you ever been in a really, really dark place and turned on the smallest light, maybe a light on your watch, or maybe a light from a device of some sort, and it lights up everything? Maybe if someone else was in the room, they might even yell at you, turn off that light, even if it's tiny, because all it takes is a little bit of light to shine in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Why? Because it's light. That's what light does. Jesus comes into the world as light. And we, as we've been talking about this week, and are united to that light. We are children of the light. We belong to the light. And he uses us, the Bible says, like lights to do his work. Well, one way to understand how we shine a light, as a light, is to think about the other part, the darkness. When the Bible describes the world as a dark place, it's not talking about the sun not working or something like that. It's talking about spiritual darkness. And it relates spiritual darkness to the things that happen in visual darkness. Right, so what are some of the bad things that happen when, let's say, your eyes are really used to the light, and then, you know, you're in your room and all of a sudden somebody turns the lights off really fast and it's totally dark? What are some of the, raise your hand if you have an idea, what are some of the bad things that can happen? Yes. You what? Right, you're jumping ahead. You're thinking about spiritual darkness and forgetting things that we learn, right, and then forget that are important. Right now I'm talking about, I'll call it physical darkness, right, that, like when you literally cannot see, right, because you're in a room where the lights have been turned off. What are some of the bad things that happen in that moment? Yes. Yeah, so you could bump into something, right? If you are in the middle of a project, she mentioned if you're writing something, all of a sudden it could get really messy. What other ideas? Give me one. 18 and under, yes. You could get hurt, yeah. What else? Yes. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Not sure? All right, what else? Yes. You could lose a page in a book if you're reading. Yes? Yes? You could stub your toe. Yes. You could get scared. Absolutely. When things get dark really fast, you can't see, obviously. That's kind of the big thing. And because you can't see, you don't know where things are. Right? You lose a certain amount of knowledge in the darkness. You can be confused. Especially if you're in a place that's unfamiliar. Have you ever gone to your grandma's house or an aunt or an uncle, and they say, here, sleep in the basement, and you're like, okay. And then you go and you sleep in the basement, and you wake up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and you can't remember where you are, and then you wander around the room, and you're trying to figure out what to go. It's not a nice feeling. It's not a nice feeling. You can get hurt, and sometimes people not in our grandma's houses, but sometimes in other places, people will use the darkness to do bad things, sometimes to hide their sin. They will use the darkness to creep back and cover up so that nobody can see what's going on. And sometimes people will use the darkness to hurt other people, to do bad things. Well, this is a good description of what happens in our hearts. When the light of Jesus is not in our hearts, when we don't know him, and when we are not following him, when we're not trusting him, all these same things happen, spiritually and physically. We get confused. We don't know where things are. We get hurt. We make mistakes. We hide our sins, and we can also be hurt by others. That's what darkness is, right? What Jesus does is he provides a light so that we don't have to be scared in the dark. Whether that's darkness, the physical darkness in our rooms, or the darkness in our hearts, with his light, he does something. He, remember the word I used? Overcomes. He's powerful. Like a light, he shines and he overcomes that darkness. He takes over that darkness. He's stronger than it. And he overcomes that darkness in our hearts. He overcomes that darkness in the world so that we don't fall into these problems and so that we're rescued from these problems. Colossians says that we are rescued out of a dominion of darkness and brought into a kingdom of God's beloved Son. Now there's more, right? Not only do the scriptures say that Jesus shines like a light, but it says then he makes us lights. Have you ever taken a mirror and reflected the sun, right? And that mirror all of a sudden becomes really powerful. Our cats always love this. You know, I'll be sitting in the chair or something like that, and the sun will come and hit my watch, and it'll shine up. Like all of a sudden my light will, or my watch will become lit with the sun and will shine on the wall, and then the cats, right? Or the laser light, right? They love these things, right? The Lord, in some ways, uses us in that way. He turns us like mirrors. He shines in us so that we then reflect in the world. But in order for the light to shine in someone's life, there has to be a certain amount of nearness, right? Neighborliness. If tonight you go into your cabin and you go into your room and you turn it totally dark, right? And then the room next door goes totally dark, and then they turn on a light, it's not really going to benefit you, will it? Because the wall and the door and those things. But if they take that light and they come into your room, which is dark, now your room has light, right? By coming near, by being a good neighbor, they've brought light into your world. And we do this too. When we proclaim the gospel, and when we reveal the character of God, like Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, when we let the world see our good works and they glorify God, God is doing something really special there. Here's the last thing I want to say about the light before we move to the last one, smell. You don't have to work really that hard. You don't have to be anything special to be this kind of light. You know, like the example of my watch, if I'm sitting in a chair and the sun shines on my watch, does my watch really change anything?
No.
Not really. You know, I didn't have to go and turn my watch and get a new watch in order for this to happen. The light itself makes the watch powerful to do this. The analogy breaks down in some ways. Don't press it too far. But it is true, and it doesn't break down in a very real and a very spiritual sense. When we are united to Christ by the Spirit, he enlightens us, our minds, our hearts, and he makes us a light to others. What I'm trying to say is that if you are in Christ, you are a light in Christ. And because you're a light in Christ and you live in a dark place, you are going to shine. Simply by living sincere lives, godly lives, telling the truth, loving others, doing your work unto the Lord, being willing to suffer for the Lord, you are shining simply by being in him. There's no other option. There's no other way because he's doing that work in you. All right, so this is the second way in which we are neighbors. We are like lights. What's the last one? Smell. All right, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Second Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, or 16, 14 to 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 through 16. All right, how can we serve God? How does God use us to serve our neighbors as a smell? Here's what Paul says. I'll just another minute. We're almost there. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death, to the other, a fragrance from life to life. And we have lots of ways of describing the people of God. This is one I should use more often. So maybe instead of saying next Sunday, beloved, greeting in the name of the Lord, I'll say, aroma of Christ, greetings in the name of the Lord. Right? This is one of the ways in which Scripture identifies us, and we should spend a moment thinking about it. What happens? Well, here, or before we used, God used the analogy related to our eyes, here he talks about our noses, our sense of smell. Instead of serving God as a light to our neighbor's eyes, we serve God as a smell. Now, it's a smell, not an actual smell that you smell, but he says we are like a smell. We are like a fragrance that spreads. And that's the first thing I want you to notice. We're going to do two things about this. The first thing Paul says about this fragrance that we are in Christ is that we spread, through us, the knowledge of Christ spreads. Who here likes coffee cake? You know what coffee cake is? Yeah, okay, good. Lots of coffee cake fans. In our family, we really like coffee cake too, and we tend to make it on special events, so Christmas morning or something like that. And usually, I'm not the one that makes that. That's usually Mrs. Chelpka, and she does a really good job. And there's something really wonderful about waking up and smelling coffee cake. Right? When you wake up, or maybe it's something else for you, maybe it's cinnamon rolls, or maybe it's at the end of the day and it's cookies. When that smell, that fragrance spreads through the house and it hits your nose, there's some joy with that, right? There's some joy with that. Well, when our invisible God uses us to reveal himself to the visible world, what this knowledge about him spreads like that kind of fragrance. The distance from Jerusalem to Pinecrest Christian Conference Center is about 7,535 miles as the crow flies. Much, much farther when you take all the roads and boats and planes and everything that you would need to do that trip. 7,535 miles to go from Israel to the San Bernardino Mountains. And yet here we are. Knowing the knowledge of Christ. Here we are, smelling in a way these good things that we have been told and that have been revealed to us through others. This is the amazing thing that God does. When he uses you in the world to serve your neighbors, to spread this knowledge of him, the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ, it doesn't just stop with you. It keeps spreading, it keeps going, it keeps growing. It moves from one person to another, like spreading throughout the house, like the cookies or the cinnamon rolls. The fragrance of the knowledge of Christ spreads throughout the world. It's an amazing and a beautiful thing, and we are all here because of it, happening to us, and we are all here, and God continues to use us to do that. The second thing I want you to notice about this aroma is that as God uses us to spread it to our neighbors, it's perceived differently. Some people, the smell of cilantro is fresh and fruity and wonderful. Other people think it smells like soap, and they don't want to smell it and they don't want to eat it. Why? Because they perceive it differently. And something like that is true with the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. To some, it's life unto life. It's coffee cake on Christmas morning. It's love, it's life, it's joy. But there's a sad truth. To others, to those who reject the Lord, who hate the Lord, the smell of Jesus, Paul says, is like the smell of death. And in a way, they perceive him accurately. And that's because our King, who brings life and light into the world, who gives this light and life to everyone who trusts him, he is to them life and light. But that same Lord who brings that life and light into the world, when people reject him, he will one day come in judgment. One day they will be left in their sins and to pay the penalty for those sins. It's hard to imagine anybody hating Jesus, who was so good and so wonderful and gave his life for you. But in our pride, in our anger, in our desire to hold on to our sins, sometimes even we don't trust Jesus like we ought to. And that's certainly true of others in the world. And so when they come into contact him, it's like they smell death, because they're already in that. They're already as a dead person. It's similar to another analogy Paul uses, like Jesus as a rock. To some, he's the cornerstone on which the house of God is built, and to others, they trip over him and stumble over him. Our pride would like to think that Jesus is always really easy to understand and that we can accept him and receive him as long as we get all of our ducks in a row and we're nice people and we do the right thing. But that's not what Jesus is like. Jesus comes into this world and he makes divisions. He makes distinctions. He offers truly and freely life to all who believe in him, but those who reject him and turn away from him, they will find death. Now that's important for you to be aware of as you go into the world to serve the Lord, to talk with your neighbors, to share with your neighbors, to make the light of Christ known among your communities. Because there are going to be times when your neighbors, these people that are close to you, these people that you do things with and you have to work together with in government and on the field and in all kinds of other ways, there's going to be times when they get mad at you for being a Christian. And the Bible tells us we shouldn't be surprised at this. We shouldn't be shocked at this or think that we're doing something wrong. Because as the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ spreads, to some he's death to death, but to others he's life to life. And that's the good news. The good news is that God knows how, through this life-giving aroma, to change people's spiritual sense of smell. He knows how to change people so that they stop perceiving him in this sinful, terrible way. But they learn to smell the smell of life and accept it and love it and then become as a fragrance of themselves. And that's what's happened with us. The Lord has worked in our lives through other people who have been lights and aromas and ambassadors. And he has spread his word and he has changed our hearts by them living in their communities, being in their neighborhoods. We have the opportunity, aroma of Christ, we have the opportunity to be these things in the world, to make the invisible God made known in a visible world. That's how we can serve him, one way, and it's an important way. Because we've been rescued and brought into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, we can serve him as ambassadors to our neighbors, representing him and proclaiming the King and his kingdom. Because we are the light of God who shines in us, we serve God by being a light to our neighbors, shining in the darkness through our good works so that people may glorify God. And because we are the aroma of Christ, we can spread his knowledge throughout the world, rejoicing both in the suffering that we will endure and in the salvation that we share and get to share, knowing that God is powerfully at work in us, leading us in this triumphal victory. Christ, who came into this world, loved us, and he still loves us. And now through us, we can show the invisible God to a visible world. In short, because Christ came close to us, we can now bring him close to others. He was a neighbor to us, and we can be a good neighbor to others in him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for again making us your children, children of the light, children who look like you and smell like you and live like you and tell of your mighty works, who tell the world of the things that you have done, who offer to the world light and hope that we ourselves have already received. Lord, I ask that you would bless the children here tonight in particular and help them to learn to see themselves as they truly are. As they put their faith and trust in this Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask that you would help them to see and to believe and to act upon these good things that you have done, so that they too might spread this light and this smell, so that they too might be ambassadors following in the footsteps of those who came before them. Lord, we thank you for the responsibilities and callings that you give to each of us in our lives. When we consider the time in our early lives, the time when we are young, it's easy to remember how difficult it is in our weakness, in our ignorance. It can be hard to know what it is the right thing to do. And Lord, as we come into our old age, we find ourselves again in a position of weakness and wondering what purpose we have in this life, how it is we might serve you. As we reflect on the things that we've thought about this week, we recognize that in your wisdom, you have designed to put us exactly where we need to be in every moment of our lives. And in every moment, no matter how weak or how strong we are, we can look to you and serve you and love you. Lord, we ask that you would help us to be faithful to the calling to which we have been called. We ask that you would help us to live out of the life that you have given to us in Christ. And we ask that you would be glorified in us and in all the world, and that your name might be praised now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.